We'll use verses first from a book which was written to a young person. I refer to 1 Timothy. You may turn there to the last chapter to read just a few verses. But I was thinking of that word we started with, happy, and happiness. We do desire, dear young people, your happiness. And I'm quite sure that every one of you wants to be happy. As the Irishman said, you'll never find anything but where it is. And happiness is that way too. And briefly stated, obedience and happiness go together. I trust you've made a profession of faith and have made a start. The last words of Moses, the very last verse that he uttered in Deuteronomy, he said something like this: happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And salvation comes in that verse. The psalmist takes it up, the 144th Psalm. So if you're going to be happy, you have to start at the beginning. And then to go on and be happy every day is what we want. There's a dear young lady down in the Dominican Republic. She's with her and her family some 6 weeks ago. She lives in a very nice family there who have been brought up in the truth. The nice thing about her is that she's always happy. Now, the reason she's always happy is because that's her name. But she's always, almost always, happy in her spirits too. So we want to go through some scriptures that will direct you and us into that place where you find happiness. In the 32nd Psalm, I believe it is, it says, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. You can translate that, happy is the man whose sins are forgiven. Now that's salvation you get, and it brings happiness. But the very first psalm begins with these words: blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That also can be translated happy. Really, the 32nd psalm would come first in your experience to have your sins forgiven. But then, what about your walk? What about your companions? What about your association? You have to go on in that happy place of walking with the Lord. Well, let's read now in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Beginning with verse 9, we will read four verses here to start with. 1 Timothy 6, 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou hast also, thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Have you professed? There's lots of witnesses. We had some of them spoken about in the path of faith this morning in the 11th of Hebrews. I suppose I am speaking to professors in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the heading of what I'm talking about here this afternoon, we find in these verses, and we could call this topic the four S. There are four words here which start with that letter. We find faith. That's the first one. And then we find flee in verse 11. And then we find follow in verse 11. And then we find fight in verse 12. Those are the four F's. Faith, flee, follow, fight. This is a brief description of your course. If you're going to have faith and walk in it, you're going to have to flee certain things. And you're going to have to follow a certain path. And you're going to be in a battle. I like to talk to young people because they're strong. They don't get so frightened about a battle. But it's very important that you have these four S in your life. Well, we must start with this first one, faith. You know that word happiness, it's a long one, and right in the middle of it is the letter I. That points to this person, I. Am I happy? Do I have happiness? Now, faith is the same way. The middle letter in faith is I. You and I need to be right in the middle of faith in order to get into the middle of happiness. Faith. We read in Hebrews, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I believe in John 3, I think it is, we have perhaps a better definition. He that hath received his testimony, that's God's testimony, hath set to his seal that God is true. That's really what faith is. It says, God says it. That settles it. And then I believe. That's the best way to turn that bumper sticker around. So often you'll see, God says it, I believe it, that settles it. No, brethren. Young people, when God says it's already settled. God is the true God. We can believe everything that He says. Now you must come in through the gospel of the grace of God and take the Lord Jesus as your Savior and have faith in Him and in His work to begin a course of happiness. Well, now, looking at this verse 9, where we began reading, it says, they that will be rich. I'm going to hold up a bill, which you can't read from there, but it says $10,000 on it. Now, that's a peso note that I acquired down in Bolivia, some 20 years ago, which when I acquired it was probably worth 25 cents or less. I like to carry a 10,000 note around with me, just to look at once in a while. Money. Money. Well, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Now look what it says next. Which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith. Erred from the faith. If you have made a profession of faith, we trust that it's real. To those who are real, we could say in the faith. Real believers, in the faith. Now, if you are a believer, you will always be in the faith as to your salvation. I like to think of that word believe also. The middle letter of that is I. Do you have faith? Do you believe? Do you enjoy happiness? Are you confident? I is the middle letter of that word confident too. I want to point to that little word letter I right back here, a small I, and apply it to me. And I want you to do the same thing. Do you have faith? Do you believe? Do you enjoy happiness? Are you confident? Confidence comes from believing God. It's a result, because He never fails. We need this confidence, the full assurance of faith, going on. But to err from the faith. And what is the result? I respect you, dear young people, for your capacity, your ability, your quickness, alertness of mind to take hold of things. I don't worry much myself about going over your heads. Now I know there are those who are young in the faith and we need simple and basic things, and I think we who are older need it too. But your capacity to take these things in and to enjoy them is great. What a sad thing, then, to err from the faith, your profession. Oh, I can think back in my years of many dear young people that I have known through those years who have erred from the faith. And what has happened to them? They have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You will not find happiness in taking up your own will. Sometimes we use the word license. Sometimes we speak of legality. Sometimes we speak of liberty. Liberty was mentioned, I believe, this morning in verses in John 8 quoted. License in the way we are using it today, in our thoughts at least, not the tag on your car, but a kind of openness to follow your own will. That's what license is in the way we're thinking about it. The allowance for you to do what you want to do when you want to do it. License will never bring happiness. Never. It's the old nature at work. And it is sin. And it brings the sad results of sin. And the wages of sin have never been reduced. There's sorrow in the pathway and the end, death. We want you, dear young people, to go on in happiness and not to be allowed to do what your will wants to do when you want to do it. Now you have in you another nature which does please God and never sins. I speak to believers. Now liberty is the following that new nature, which does always please God. We had a standard before us in the Blessed Savior this morning of perfection, in there in Hebrews 12. Perfection, always that, in His course through the world. And this is the standard that God always holds before you and I. Perfection. He never lowers that standard. But the new nature in you, to that new nature, it's spoken of in James as a law of liberty. Because the new nature delights to do the will of God and to please God. Here is part of your battle in between those two natures, and I speak for myself, bearing the old nature as long as we're here. That's part of the battle. Now we mentioned the word legality. Legality would perhaps try to control the old nature by setting up rules and regulations. And God tested man under that for 4,000 years, not quite 4,000 years exactly, at least 1,500 years after he gave the law. And God has ended that test to see if flesh could produce anything under law. So we know that legalism will not work. What we want is the liberty of grace and the obedience and dependence which will bring us into that place, that course of happiness. To err from the faith, and the love of money is just a root of all evil. And oh, we want to avoid that. You young people are perhaps some of you preparing for your life employment, and that is a necessary thing in this world. Earlier here it says we brought nothing into this world, verse 7, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. But while we're here, we need things, and God knows that. So the next verse says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Oh, to have contentment in the supply that God has given, and not to be always grasping after money, thinking that that will bring us happiness. How often we have seen that large amounts of money bring sorrow instead of happiness. So we have this warning here. The love of money is a root of all evil. And covetousness, oh, that's an awful thing too, isn't it? While some coveted after wanting money. Now we get positive instruction in verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. We'll stop there. Wonderful thing that the Apostle Paul could speak to a young man, and I'm looking at young men, and it includes young ladies too. It calls Timothy man of God. Man of God. I like to think I'm looking into the faces of men and women of God. That's what you are. If you're one of God's children, you're in His family. And all your responsibility now is to behave as one of God's children. To act like one of God's children. Now the word flee comes in. We want to give you an illustration of one thing that a young man fled from in the Old Testament, because we get instruction in the New Testament as to this particular sin. I'm going to read it, not make much comments on it. But you and I, in the course of faith, are going to have to learn that there are things that we have to shun, avoid, leave, run away from. I refer to Joseph back in Genesis 39, and it says in verse 11, it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house, that's his master's house, Pharaoh, to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she, that's the wife of Pharaoh, caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Here was a man who fled at the right time. Timothy was told to flee certain things, other things besides fornication. But you, dear young people, are exposed to this much, I'm quite sure. And briefly, the only instruction is to turn around and run from it. Run from it. It says in the New Testament here, flee fornication. Here, in the verse we're reading, it says, flee these things. It's going back and referring to other things. The grasping after things down here for the flesh. Those things should be given up too. In the next book, the Spirit of God through Paul says to Timothy, flee also youthful lusts. They don't profit those desires of youth, and they're very, very strong. And you won't find happiness in them. Gratifying the flesh never produces happiness, but sorrow and death. Flee. Now there was another man named Joseph in the New Testament. Let's turn and read about him. I think you might turn, if you care to Matthew chapter 2. It's quite a different case. But this Joseph was the husband of Mary, to whom Jesus was born. And our blessed Savior was under Satan's attack when he was a babe. And the father, Joseph, who was of the line of David, and we have his lineage here in Matthew, he was given instruction by the Spirit of God to flee something too. The 13th verse of Matthew 2. When they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Here was an obedient Joseph as well. He followed the guidance of the Spirit of God and protected that dear child. He obeyed. Young people, when it's time to flee, just turn around and run. Leave it. Leave it. You'll find something to follow that'll bring you happiness. So we'll go on to that. In our chapter, verse 11 again, thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now we have something that's positive and very lovely. You know, God really hasn't called us to walk alone either. Turn over to the next chapter, or the next book, chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. And we'll read a verse that's quite similar to the 22nd. We've already quoted a part of it, 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts. Run away from these things. There's no profit in them. There may be sorrow and danger and loss. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Oh, to have those kind of companions. We can find them. This dear young lady named Happy in the Dominican Republic, her grandfather was old Maximo, who was saved back in the early 50s. And Maximo fled the city where he was living because of the wickedness in it, and moved up into the hills with his young family. And through the years, God blessed him. I think of Maximo as kind of an example of one who fled the place of iniquity. You know, poor Lot settled down in it. He had to flee, didn't he? Well, God has blessed that family much. There's another man that was saved about that time named Shiloh. And the father of the girl named Api is a son of Shiloh. I think of her as being brought up in that home where the gospel and truth was known and prized, and she has these kind of companions. You, dear young people, are going to meeting, and maybe you wonder why you are. Well, if you're here because you find some nice companions, that's nice too. But you need to learn and be established in the precious Word of God. To follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. To get the kind of instruction out of the Scriptures that will keep you happy in your course through the world. In John 13 it says, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You heard wonderful and blessed truths. Are you listening to them and gaining in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You will find in the teaching, in the meeting where you go, something that will guard you from evil associations which are around us in the great house. And that is a good deal of what the second book of Timothy is about. You can be very, very thankful that you are being brought to meeting and that you are still coming and that you are here. And that you're not mixed up in one of the systems of men where the Spirit of God is hindered to bring forth these blessed truths. It is really the truth that will keep you that you find in the meeting. This is of God. There is a divine center today. There is a place where saints call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. They have not a mixed motive. The motive is Christ. That's the great difference between the meeting and churches so called. So we want to encourage you just to go on in the companionship of those who are seeking to walk in the truth, to call on. Now, perhaps some of you are young and only recently saved. Perhaps some of you have not come to meeting long. I remember being in Bolivia about 20 years ago. We carried many Bibles down in those years. There were few of them in the land, that part of the country at that time. And there amongst the Indians, the Red Belt Indians, not much schooling. The older ones couldn't even read. But I had a beautiful lesson right before my eyes. A rather young man was given a Bible, and he took it with joy. And about a half an hour later, I came around to the back of the building where they were squatted down, sitting on a log, and there was quite a group of them there, and I didn't know what it was, so I walked up closer. And here was this young man reading out loud out of the Bible, and those dear people just gathered around to hear the Word of God read. Oh, how wonderful it is to have the Word of God and to be able to read it any time you want to. Oh, it brought joy to that whole company. Some of those were old men that couldn't read, but here was a man reading out loud to them. Now, if you're a young person and just beginning to read your Bible, maybe you want to know where you should start. Oh, it is so attractive, I really can't tell you for sure. If you take the very first words of the Bible, it says, "In the beginning God created." Are you curious now to read what he says in that book of Genesis? And we've already quoted the first words of the psalm. Blessed is the man. Do you want to be one of those blessed men? Read the Psalms. You come over to the New Testament, and it says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Are you curious to read Matthew? It's a lovely book. Mark, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Are you curious to read Mark? I don't know whether I can quote the first part of Luke, but it's about for as much as some have taken in hand to set in order. And it's quite a different style. Luke is so lovely to read. Very readable book. You come to John, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You want to learn some more about that? Well, I say you can begin in any one of those books. If you're having difficulty, problems in your school and in your life, you might want to read the book of Proverbs. If you're a young man looking for a wife, I'd recommend that too. Because that book of Proverbs is the story of two women. And you sure don't want to get the one, but you do want to get the other. The strange woman, the evil one, and the wise woman. Now this goes for young ladies too, your companions. I tell you, you can get benefit from the Bible. And of course, if you want the gospel, go to Romans. So I tell you, dear young people, read the Word of God. Read it. Grow in it. It'll bring joy and happiness. That's what will guide you when these temptations come along. And there are many of them. In one sense, the world has not changed. That is, back in Ecclesiastes it says, "Say not, thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this." Well, our time's about to run out, and I haven't said anything about fighting. That is, the world in its wickedness has always been here. But we want you, dear young people, to be guided and kept and to have a happy life and to have a good testimony. I is right in the middle of testimony too. Reminds me of Eric Smith. He said, "Clem, it doesn't matter so much what you say or what you do, it's what you are that counts. You yourself, this I is right in the middle of my testimony." So it is with you. Fight the good fight of faith. Faith, flee, follow, fight. Fight as Joshua fought. What did Joshua fight for? The land. To possess that promised land. There were enemies in it. And that's the only way you're going to enjoy what God has given you, is to stand for it. We were enjoying recently over here in Los Angeles, Ephesians 6. It'll tell you what to use in that battle that's yours. And you're in it, young people. If you profess the faith, you're in this fight. And the enemy is strong. He'll try to bring you down. You're already as high as you can ever go if you're in Christ. And in Ephesians 6, we're never told to go higher. We're just told to stand. Having done all, stand therefore. Withstand. Stay right there. The whole equipment for the fight is yours in the precious Word of God. Joshua, an example in the Old Testament. Paul in the new. We'll turn in closing to Paul in 2 Timothy 4 and read verse 7. We'll read verse 6 and 7. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Oh, that I might end my course like this. Oh, that you too. You know you're not likely to grow old. But we're all still here. We haven't resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We're still in the battle. And oh, that we might just go on in faith, fleeing those wicked things, following those good things, and fighting this fight of faith. Let's close in singing number 43 in the back of the book. I think especially of the last stanza. The Word of God, this is our resource. Thy Word, thyself reflecting, doth sanctify by truth, still leading on thy children with gentle heavenly growth. Thus still the work proceedeth, the work begun by grace. For each, you too, myself, for each is me and training, Father, to see thy face. Some brother start number 43 in the back, please.